Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, 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 everyone out of the big wide world. This is Helena, Helena Steiner Hornstein, or Helena Margarita. You're all the same person. So I hope you're well. And I'm looking out through my window here in front of me, and I have right behind my screen, behind my computer screen. And I'm looking out and I see, my God, what is happening to us here on Earth? The water level is just going down, down, down. I can't believe how fast it goes. Well, of course, the sun is so hot and the grass is getting not greener, it's getting drier and drier and drier. So for you out there who have not recognized that there is a climate change, well, wake up, because certainly we have. And my local weather forecast said something about that May this year shows the same temperature that you usually see for August, which is our hottest month. So may God help us. What is going to happen this summer in Florida with the heat coming in? So, but I'm open to miracles. Please, miracles, come our way. That's all I can say. And let us all also make this a better world for each one of us. Because whoever you are still together with everyone else on this planet called Earth. How do you like your planet today? Well, it's a mindset, isn't it? You have to really put your mind to certain things. And somehow, if you can do something about things, I did my little thing, and maybe some of you will not like it, but I didn't like this unnecessary killing in Gaza. So I wrote my local congressman that I didn't feel that my tax money should go to destroy innocent life in Gaza. But this is happening because the United States is paying for weapons to do so. And right after I had sent that letter, maybe a million other people sent the same thing, because that was when President Biden decided to change. He wouldn't send any more weapons, because after all, innocent people are being killed every hour of the day because of some kind of political games. So I said my little thing, and I know people don't like me to be political, as they say, but this is what I'm saying is in the interest of us all. We are all here to be happy, to be healthy, and that's what I'm going to try to talk about now. And the title here is, Are You Coordinated? And I'm meaning with that, are you coordinated with your purpose? And that's why I had to say what I just said. Yes, my purpose is to survive here and have a good life on this planet. And that's why I have to protest a little bit once in a while. And I think you can do that too. It should be allowed. It is allowed, at least in most Western countries. So there we go. So we're going to talk about how coordinated we are with our purpose. So when you see this, are you coordinated? What are you thinking about first? I wonder if my clothes are okay. Does your shirt match your shoes, or whatever people like to do? People say, I'm very coordinated, but I'm not even trying. I just put things together intuitively, and somehow it works. Because colors are energy. And we can use that energy to improve our lifestyle, to improve our day, to improve our looks even. And you know very well that if you wear a certain color, you feel happier than if you wear another color. And if you wear dark, I wear black myself. I used to wear black more for the evenings. And now I've stopped doing that because black, although it's very elegant and you can do so much good stuff with the black, and you can really jazz it up with all kinds of accessories or just your beautiful own self. But black is blocking. It blocks. It doesn't attract light, so to speak. It blocks out the light. That's why I never work with a black shirt or something like this. I can work with black pants and black shoes, but not with a black top, because I'm receiving the energy in to my chest and to, of course, the front of my upper body. That is how I communicate with the universe through my heart. So what is so instrumental when you are kind of coordinating yourself? Somehow, I think you have to have a foundation within yourself. And you know all what I'm talking about as foundation. Yes, you have to have a purpose. And what is the purpose in our life? This planet, and I think on all other planets as well. What is the purpose that we all have? It is to move forward. Yes, not to look backwards. And this is what I feel we are kind of chewing, re-chewing all the time. Politically, in the media, in our private lives, we keep on re-chewing the old problems constantly. And I say, no, the purpose of life, the purpose of your life, the purpose of my life is to move forward. And we are going to make sure that we have a good life ahead of us. So what do? We send out energies ahead of us, positive energies, to make that road we're going to walk on through our life, to make it light and bright and positive. And then you meet positive people on that road. I feel myself, I have a tendency to meet only people who are like me. Positive and kind of fun. Yes, I'm fun when I'm not on that show maybe, but I am. I look at in a certain way, I have a tendency to laugh at my own worries, my own mistakes, my own whatever I do wrong. Because that's so important in everyone's life, to be coordinated with the now in you, to be coordinated with the now of your day. And the now of your day, how do you treat that? Positively. Send lots of light to your positive surrounding, or making it positive, so to speak. I have had people come to me crying, not the kind of crying that we experience in the sessions where people just start crying out of the blue, which they do because suddenly it's like that light within them is waking up. But they are crying because they feel sorry for themselves. And I take a big sigh here. It's never easy to try to get over the sorrow you have within you, because that can go so deep, and it takes a hole in your subconscious mind, and that throws everything off around you and within you. So your coordination within you is just falling apart. But I'm going to talk about one particular person now who came to me, and she sat down And I always ask her, like I always ask, what do you wish for during this hour together with me? And then she started to cry. She said, I have cancer. I'm going to die. One thing about me is, yes, I love everyone, particularly at that moment of a togetherness that we have during a session. But I don't love your problems. I don't feel real pity for anyone. Because once you feel pity for someone, that pity kind of takes a hold. And it's a confirmation for the person that, yeah, she feels sorry for me too, you know. So I want to get over that condition about feeling sorry for someone, because I don't want us to feel sorry about ourselves, at least not for too long. There are times when you can really grieve. And I'm going to talk about that maybe first, and then I'm going to go over to the other lady I was going to talk about. But when you have lost someone, really someone has died, someone you love, a good friend, or someone very close to you in the family, like a spouse, or really close, like a child or sibling, and you really grieve, you are so deep down in your grief. First of all, it's very, very important that you cry. You have to cry. The more you cry, the more you get rid of those grief feelings or those, I feel sorry for me. Because so many times we feel sorry for what we have lost, not sorry for the person who lost a life. Yes, we do that too, particularly when a young person during the very good, healthy years has an accident and dies. It's so sad. In fact, I saw this show just a couple of days ago. I think it was called Young Sheldon. Young Sheldon. And I love that show. And it's about this rather dysfunctional in a way, because Sheldon is from, that's a takeoff from the other show, what is it called? The Big Blast, I've forgotten exactly what, I don't see it anymore. But anyway, this shows him as young and his family that is like a little bit dysfunctional. But then in the last episode, the father died. And you know, I was so sad. I cried because I was, oh no, why did that have to happen? And of course, I'm very sensitive. But what we need is to cry when we feel those emotions popping up in us. Cry it out. Because if you don't cry when you have a big grief or big loss in your family or in your life, it will take a hold that will pop up forever in you. And you will feel that lack in your life forever. I still, myself, I lost three wonderful husbands, and I still shed a tear once in a while just for them, and it feels good. It really feels very, very good, because it just kind of takes a cloud away of some kind. And you should not be afraid of crying when you have lost someone, because that makes your life much better and more in balance again. So now talking about this woman who came to say, oh, I have cancer. And I looked at her. She was a mess. I'm sorry I had to say so. She was young and actually good looking. But her clothes were a mess. Nothing was kind of, it was probably clean, but nothing was kind of right on her. And her hair was a real mess. She really needed a good hairbrush. She wore no makeup, no pretty accessories or anything. And she was sitting there in front of me feeling so sorry for herself. And I looked at her and I said, why do you want to make life worse for you? I said, you have a purpose, and that is to move forward. And you are now going to be determined that you're going to create a healthy life before you. Do not sit and dwell over something like this. Someone gave some kind of judgment to you that you are going to die. Well, your doctor said that. And they're very quick in saying that sometimes. And sometimes people misunderstand them as if there would be no chance of getting better. But that's not necessarily what the doctors are saying. They say this could end up with you dying. So understand now what you really wish to have in your life. And I gave all kinds of talk. Of course, we did the usual kind of active healing meditation as well. But then I gave her this kind of lecture, how I wanted to see her again. And next time, she was going to spruce up herself a little bit and not to feel sorry about herself. I wanted her to step into my office and to smile at me. And I wanted her to wear some nice clothes with some nice matching accessories. I wanted her to take care of her hair and wear some lipstick and little makeup. And she listened, and she was very, very surprised that I took this attitude. Instead of sitting there, oh, yeah, poor you, well, let's pray and for a better life. No, no, no. First of all, I never say, let's pray. It's just what others say that I'm doing, because they don't know how to explain what I'm doing. And that is that we go into this so-called healing meditation, which is not a meditation at all. It's just a process of the light through your subconscious mind. And most sicknesses start with an off balance in your subconscious mind. And once that is gone, you begin to feel lighter and more positive, and you can help to guide your thoughts into a new positive direction. So that woman came back, and she looked really good. I was amazed. And we had one or two more sessions, and she got completely well. I expected nothing else from her, because I saw through the way she had put herself together. She really, really wanted to move on. So how you are coordinated in your looks actually shows the world how you feel about yourself and your future. And all you young guys who go for interviews and you come with sloppy clothes because this is what you always kind of wear, even if it's completely the thing to do in your group of friends. No, that's not the way you do in regular life if you want to move forward. It's okay if you're that Einstein, then you can dress any way you want, because you have created a name for yourself. Whatever name you created for yourself, yeah, you can develop your style. But before you have come that far, oh no, start to show respect to the world and start to show yourself at your very, very best in every way. And going back to this with feeling low when you have lost someone in your life. I have buried several husbands, and it was not that I killed them or anything. They were all accidents out there. Because why does someone die from us? And I know there are people out there who need to hear just that today. Why does someone die from us? Well, there is something called fate. And there is something called a higher plan for everything. And sometimes people are taking out. They've been taken out a little bit too early for us people to understand. But the universe always has a plan. And what the universe did with me, that my husbands were taken, the first and the second husband, were taken away from me. Because somehow the universe felt it was time for me to start to move forward in my own, with my own capacity, so to speak. Not to live with them, with their talents. Yes, to live with them. They were not the main star, so to speak. The universe somehow wanted to say, no, you are the main star. It may seem odd to say that or to think that, but universe thinks in a different way from us here on Earth. We all live under the with the consciousness of human beings, of logic, of looking at things in a completely different way. So what they say about this, the universe has the final say, yes, that is actually so. But what I'm saying to you and everyone out there is, be coordinated in your life, in your lifestyle, with your plans. It's very, very hard to make plans or have success if you're not coordinated with your physical self, with your mental self, and with your attitudes, with your mindset. How can you move forward when you're thinking backwards? Tell me, how can you do that? Because this is how many of you are thinking when you want to move forward. And what is that backward thinking? Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm too old. I'm too young. Everyone is much prettier than I am. Everyone knows so much more. Everyone has more luck than I do. I have no luck. And you put yourself back and back and back. Oh, I'm not strong enough. I was never good at school. How can I be good here? Oh, school is just a discipline, a time of discipline when you are learning a few things. But how good you are in life and your success out in life depends on how much you're trusting you and your own ability. Trust. It's important for you to be in balance. And to be in balance is the same thing as being coordinated. And sometimes you have to remove certain things about yourself that are blocking you. And if you walk around with too much grief and too much of a chipped shoulder because everyone else has been doing better before than you have, it's very hard to break through that wall and move forward. And I have to tell you just about myself when my husband died. And of course, I was beside myself. I thought my life had stopped a little bit. And I really didn't know what to do with myself. And this was right in the beginning afterwards. I found that I cried a lot. And then one day, I pulled up that we had enjoyed together. And I played that piece again and again and again. And cried even more for each time I played it. And then I took bourbon and drank one bottle after the other. I shouldn't even say that. I might not even have had bourbon since. But someone had given me a case of bourbon, or my husband, myself, bourbon, I had that. And I cried and I drank bourbon more and more. And you wouldn't believe it, I fell asleep. The next morning, I had cried myself out. I could not cry anymore. And I had absolutely zero hangover there was not one trace of all that alcohol. And that's why I'm saying, I don't think everyone can do this, but sometimes there are ways of getting over something that might be a little bit unconventional. I say this anyway, it doesn't belong to that proper lifestyle that I'm kind of preaching for, but we should not condemn all kinds of ways. As soon as you get over it, and I got over it, my goodness, it healed me. Plus, as I said, I don't think I ever had bourbon since. I'm a wine drinker, but then very, very limited with that. Now you have to be careful because there are those with the genes of alcoholism. And I don't think this would be a good idea for those who have the genes of alcoholism. And how much you know if you have that? I can see that on people because I look at people's pancreas, of course, intuitively. And when I see there's a corner of the pancreas missing, I see, and I say that to people, either you have diabetes in your family or you have tendency to become an alcoholic. So watch out for that. I'm always right on that when I'm telling people. It's very good for people to know that they have to be careful with certain things because not everyone has those genes, but some of us have. So we have to remember that we are all different from each other. And that's why we shouldn't condemn certain people for certain things because we do things differently. All of us. That's how we have different diets. And another thing, talking about diets now, that we like different things, all of us. But when you want to be coordinated, it's not only in the mental, in the spiritual field, it's in the physical field. You have to do the exercises. And you have to also think about your diet. Diet is absolutely important. The most important thing about you, I would think. Unless you're one of those robust people and you exercise a lot, you do a lot of physical work, then it doesn't matter too much what food you're eating as long as you're eating a lot of food. And I've seen that with the people who work in the forest, who are chopping wood, and, you know, I've seen a lot of those coming from forest area. They were healthy, and they were eating, and they were drinking. They were drinking heavily on weekends. It didn't seem to bother them when I'm talking about drinking heavily. It was heavy, usually homemade stuff, and that was stronger than anything else. But they were healthy, and they ate very simple diets, like herring, salted herring that they could keep in the forest with no refrigeration, and potatoes, and maybe bacon. And that was it. So we are so different, but depending what kind of physical composure you are, you have to handle yourself differently. If you're spiritual, you do not handle meat at all well. And that can cause all kinds of sicknesses in your body. Some people were meant to be non-meat eaters from the beginning. I was one of those. And that's why I had all those colds and flus when I was younger, up to the day when I stopped eating meat. Meat is good for others, not everyone. It was not good for me. And this is how you have to look at yourself. You have to find your own way where you feel good and good about you. So how much can you depend on those feelings, how you can be coordinated? Use your five senses. It's like you hear what is right for you, or you just feel this is good for you. And you can, like sometimes I smell fruit and I put my nose and I kind of smell it and I decide or intuitively I get the message, no, this is not good for me. Because even if something is fruit, for instance, it doesn't mean that it's good for everyone. I couldn't function for a while only because I ate a lot of carrots. My system could not handle carrots. I had to cut that out of my diet completely. What a pity, because I used to eat them a lot at one time because it made my skin look so good. So that is another thing. You have to think about how you treat your mind, how you think about yourself. And that is the beginning for a good balance in your life. So the balance comes from your attitudes about yourself and about others. If you walk around and think negatively about others or someone, maybe a leader of a country like we do very much now, we think negatively about the leaders out there. I do that too. But it must not take over your system. So you wake up with that. Oh, what a terrible world we live in. Don't put that on your mind too much. Just get it out of your mind as often as you can. Even if you're reminded all the time. And maybe you can start to write letters to those who can make a change. And speak up a little bit more. I have done that always, and sometimes it works, it does, but it takes a little bit of an attitude, a mindset from your part, from your side, if you want to do those things. So now, do you have your priorities right? What do you like most of all in life? Do you know that? Kind of focus a little bit more. What do you want in your life? What do you like in your life? And then you can put down also, write it down like what you don't want in your life and who should not be in your life, etc., etc. And once you get that little bit of a more focus and organization about you and your life, it will be so much easier to move forward. And you see, it's such fun to move forward. Great, great fun to have that kind of organized, balanced life. And once you have that, you will start to attract people like you. Because when you are not in balance, you have a tendency to attract other people who are the same. I remember so well, I've been widowed most of my life, but I have also gone through one terrible divorce that took actually 3 years of my life of negative activities. And this was a divorce that everyone kind of got involved in just because they thought it was kind of interesting because everyone knew about me and my husband and so on. So now they started to take sides. This was a time when I had to make sure that I did not get affected by all that negative. But what I noticed also, all those people came to me and surrounded me were the negative ones, were the ones who went through the same thing and how we were together and we talked about our terrible situations. It was wrong. This was the time when I should surround myself with happy people. But I didn't send out that energy to the world. So I got the others coming to me, the unhappy people who had my problems. So that's why we seem to stick the same energies are attracted by those same energies. And we see that politically also. So if you want chaos in your life, go the way of chaos. If you want balance and happiness in your life, you create that road of balance and happiness in your life. And it's not that hard. I do that all the time. Because, you know, every day is kind of, sometimes you have something that you didn't expect, or you didn't hear, and you have to kind of put yourself back in balance again. And without yourself and your wishes of your own self and trusting yourself, how can you do that? So it's up to you to be generous to yourself and loving you so much that you know what will make you happy. And you look at nothing else. Never look for revenge. I see that. It doesn't serve anyone, particularly not you. Never take a revenge, although it feels good somehow to do that. But you have to think about you as the number one of your focus. Well, this was a lot of, I don't know, spontaneous talk. But it was totally spontaneous this time because I really didn't follow anything except for what I felt about this coordination of ourselves. It's so important to actually be in balance if you want to move forward and not to allow yourself to be influenced by negativity, by negative people, by negative thoughts, by all the doubts, by all the drawbacks about something. No, put yourself first for success. Okay, let's do a little meditation. And my meditation is always with the light. And who is the light and what is the light? It is that inner power, that inner balance within each one of us, also within the energy of the planet. The earth has also this kind of inner balance. And that's why it's so important to keep our earth in balance. Have you thought about that? Once we keep the planet Earth in balance, will all her riches, we will be part of that. We will be part of that. So let's start right now. So the light is the God force, creation within us. And you close your eyes. And you go deeper and deeper and deeper within you. Yes, you feel that there is a place within you. Truth of joy, of love, of good balance and health, and success. You tune in with that inner light of yours. And you can imagine that inner light resides within your chest area, down to your solar plexus, up to your throat. And you begin to feel so full of this light, of this energy, of this positive energy. And you breathe in and you breathe out. When you breathe in more and more light. Take advantage of that light. Use it. And now you breathe out all that used light. And now you feel energized. Your eyes are closed. And you take like a sigh, which is the release. And yes, you feel in balance at this very moment. Should any thought enter into your mind at this moment, just throw it out and replace it with light. You are surrounded by light. You have activated the light within you. And you move your arms and hands around you, just feeling that light surrounding you. Yes, suddenly you feel that you are in balance. And before you in the eyes, you see this whole field of green and red flowers. You begin to feel secure. You feel you have found a place where you can start. And you breathe in that energy of all these beautiful flowers. And suddenly, it's like you have all those steps in front of you. And you run up these steps. And suddenly, you have landed on the top of the steps. And you have now landed also up in the sky, surrounded by white clouds, surrounded by stars. Beautiful, sparkling yellow stars. You take a deep breath. You feel so in harmony and so absolutely like a winner because you have reached the stars. You are now among the stars. And you fly around the stars. You touch the stars. And you notice that the sky surrounding the stars and as a base for the stars is clear, clear daytime blue. A strong, strong blue color. And you inhale the energy of that blue color. And you begin to feel so trusting and so full of hope. And you smile. And now suddenly you take a big jump out from the sky. And you fly through the sky. And you're landing on an island. This is your private island. Yes, you can visit this island anytime you want to do your meditations. You have discovered this island. It is surrounded by clear blue water. The island in itself is green and yellow and blue. And you feel so safe on your island, in your thoughts. You're building yourself a residence on that island. It could be a palace or it could be just a little cottage. You decide. You build it in a second. And now you open the door to your new residence. And when you do, you enter a big room of shiny light, and the further into your residence you look, the more light you're discovering. Light comes from the ceilings, from the walls, from the floor, and the lamps just reproducing more and more light. You dance around in these rooms of the light. You feel light, you feel in balance, you feel happy, You feel absolutely so coordinated in your life. Yes, I am. I am. And now slowly, slowly, you're coming back to the here and now. One, two, three, four, five, six, and now number seven. You open your eyes again, and you will start a new, wonderful day. Maybe even a new, wonderful week, a new, wonderful month, a new, wonderful year. And you give thanks. Big, big thanks. Thanking the universe for all the gifts that you have received. This is Helena Steiner-Holstein with the website www.findingyourinnerlight.com or www.bodysoulconnection.com. Don't use the forms from the website. Just use the email that is marked. I noticed those forms that the websites are sending are not reliable. I don't get those. Mostly I don't. So just send me email, Dr. Helena. Info, Dr. for Dr. Helena, my first name, info, short for information, at yahoo.com, or the Gmail address Activail, A-C-T-I-V for Victor, A-L-E, at gmail.com. Forgive me for having Gmail. I also have a private email address for, you know, Dr. Helena at Body Soul Connection, but that one is more difficult to log into, and I'm always in a rush somehow. So have patience with me, and I hope you keep in touch with me all the time. Be good. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.